My guest at this time is Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. He represents the Hawkeye State's 5th Congressional District and is a member of the House Judiciary Committee. We want to get his thoughts on a couple of important subjects today. First of all, a major piece of legislation he is behind strongly, known as the Preborn Non-Discrimination Act, also known as Pre-NDA. We'll get his explanation of that in just a moment, as well as his thoughts on a controversial provision within the Defense Authorization Bill that would potentially allow indefinite detention of Americans by the U.S. government without due process. And Congressman, thank you very much for being with us.
It's good to be back, Greg. Thank you.
Now let's start on what I just mentioned, Congressman, the Preborn Non-Discrimination Act. This was introduced a couple of weeks ago, you along with several of your colleagues in the House. And basically, as far as I can tell, it prevents people having an abortion based on the gender or race of the child. Tell us a little bit more about that and why you think this bill is necessary.
Well, this legislation identifies that, you know, first, from where I stand, I should be full disclosure in this, that I believe that life begins at the instant of conception. And we are looking out across the country and the world, and we're seeing sex-selective abortions, babies being aborted because they're little girls, and you're seeing race-selected abortions, babies being aborted because they are of a certain minority. And when you look at the carnage in innocent human life across the country and around the world, we need to go back and identify that this discrimination that takes place on little baby girls and on little African-American, little Hispanic babies, that's got to stop. And I think whatever side of this argument you're on, or this debate on the life question, whether you're pro-choice or whether you're pro-life, I think we should all be able to agree that we should not see sex-selective abortions nor race-selective abortions. So it makes it illegal to consider sex or race within the determination on abortion.
How do you determine whether someone chose to have an abortion based on those criteria?
Well, that's a little harder, and it goes to the person who is doing the abortion rather than the person who is making the decision. And, you know, that's a little bit of a technical language on there, and I'd have to go back and refer myself to that. But I was satisfied that that language did accomplish this. And it also, at the same time, makes a statement that we need to protect innocent unborn human life. And if we, the least we can do is protect those that are selected because they're the less wanted, even though they are very healthy babies that can contribute to society and live a wholesome life.
Congressman, last question on this topic. We know that this is obviously a major issue in China with the one-child policy. To what extent do you think this happens on a regular basis in this country?
It's significant. I mean, we see data that shows, let's see, I'm going to pull this from memory, so I just qualify it to that extent. And, there's slightly more baby boys born than baby girls born. And it's that area is down there, just in a little more than 100 baby boys for every 100 baby girls. But by the time you get into the second and third and fourth child, if they haven't had a baby boy yet, then you see the incidence of those babies being born at about 117 to 100. In other words, 17% more boys. That tells us that in the United States that there's sex selective abortions taking place. In China, we think it's about 35,000 forced abortions a day, and many of those abortions that are elective are done so because they're little girl babies, and the distortion that takes place. First, the human tragedy when you think of those innocent babies that never get a chance to live and love. But additionally, what happens in a society when you see 15, 20, 25% more boys than girls, all that testosterone has to go someplace, and I think that that's something that blows up on the civilization of China at some time in the near future.
We're talking with Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King. And Congressman, another major issue that came before the Congress recently is the Defense Authorization Bill. This is a bill that has countless components to it, but one that has raised concerns from civil libertarians as well as folks like Senator Rand Paul and others has been the issue of indefinite detention of American citizens if they are, in fact, suspected of aiding and abetting and being an active conspirator in terrorism. Many people are concerned that Americans on American soil would then be denied due process. Folks like John McCain have said that if they are clearly linked to terrorism, that is something that should be considered and probably acceptable. Others say that being an American carries rights that others don't. How do you come in on this debate?
Hey, well, we went back and reviewed the language and the effect of it, and I came down to this conclusion, that the language in the Defense Authorization Bill doesn't exactly prohibit that scenario from taking place, but neither does it bring it about. And we have an agreement to take this issue up before the Judiciary Committee, where I serve, and to be able to examine this thing closely within, not the light of the rush to judgment, but the light of a serious review here by, I would have to say, my colleagues at least, and not necessarily myself, although we have a lot of smart people on this committee that understand the law and the Constitution, and we will all, myself included, go back and scour that language and think and consider all the implications, and we'll hold hearings. And we'll come back with a judicial resolution of this matter. Meanwhile, I have been in the process of drafting legislation that sets up an area of law to address those enemy combatants in a way that is more addresses them as enemy combatants rather than citizens that happen to be breaking somebody's international law. And so what it does is it directs actually just to the short form would be to put them under the enemy combatant law that this Congress has passed, and then the shorthand of it is send them to Gitmo. They wouldn't have to go there, but that would be how people would understand how we would enforce the law under enemy combatants. And I believe we should set up a way that American citizens, when picked up as enemy combatants, would go before a special court to determine whether they are actually enemy combatants, make sure we protect their constitutional rights as citizens, but be able to adjudicate them as enemies of the state in a military tribunal rather than our civilian courts. We haven't gotten there yet. I hope I can inject that into our discussions, but we're going to protect the rights of Americans, and we're going to be able to do so in a judicious manner.
How high is that on the priority list for the committee next year, as far as you can tell?
Well, we're going to have the hearings, and that after the hearings, we have to make the decision then on what we'll do to bring legislation. But it's the Speaker's commitment to the Republican conference, so that's pretty high on the list.
Last topic before we let you go, Congressman. Thursday night, the final presidential debate in your home state, January 3rd, are the caucuses. What's the mood as you sense it traveling around the state, and where do you come down on who ought to win this caucus and this nomination?
Well, on the debate, and you know, we're now in the final march towards the Iowa caucus. I think that the polls are reflecting what's really there. I think Newt Gingrich does sit at the top of them. I think he probably took on a little water in the debate, and I thought Mitt Romney had a good, strong performance, but we've come to expect that of him. Newt Gingrich also had a strong performance, and of course we expect that of him. I think that Michelle Bachmann showed herself to be strong in challenging Newt Gingrich directly, and that may help her, but it may be that someone else is a beneficiary of her taking that risk. If there is somebody out there that is, I'd say that it's probably Rick Perry, who showed his humanity. And no one's worked harder in Iowa than Rick Santorum. So this race is going on to January 3rd. Right now, I think that unless there's something dramatic that happens, it's most likely Newt Gingrich will win in Iowa. There could be a contest for second place between Mitt Romney and Ron Paul, who has a solid base of support in the state that's been growing, not shrinking. And then the single-digit candidates will be seeking to crack into the double digits and trying to crack into the top three.
Well, we'll be watching with great interest, as I know you will. Congressman, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. I appreciate the chance to be on with you today.
Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King represents his state's 5th Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.